Hi, and welcome to New Every Day. My name's Carrie.
My name's Jen, and on today's show, we're talking about weeds are dangerous. Be right back.
Welcome back. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're on the road and we're going to continue our sower series. We've talked about the parable of the sower and how Jesus talked about how there are different soils. People's hearts are represented by different types of soil. So the rocky soil, which we spoke about last week, and this week we're talking about the weeds in the soil.
Right. And so last week we said that rocks are dangerous. And one of the questions that we ended with was, why are rocks dangerous? And we said, well, it's simply because they impede the root growth from going down and getting to the water and the nutrients to actually support life in the tree. And so we ended with the big question of...
What are the rocks in your life?
What are the rocks in your life? And what we didn't tell you was a key word is like, well, what is the secret to getting rid of those rocks?
That's right. We didn't talk about that.
And so, and this is kind of in the review portion, but also a different way of thinking of it. Because you're like, there's a secret to getting rid of the rocks?
What's the secret weapon?
Dun, 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 dun!
Commercial break. Just kidding.
Did you know that if you have rocky soil and you're finding it hard to get the rocks out, if you put in a little bit of water, the water will actually go in and loosen up the rocks. Mm. And so in... you know, to get rid of the rocks in our own life, those mindsets, those that sin, if we ask the Holy Spirit to reveal them, He will. And then as He says, this, you're struggling with this, you're struggling with this, or this is sin, or have you seen this, right? Then we have a choice then to repent and say, God, thank you so much for revealing that to me. Would you take that and would you lift that out of my life, and then would you fill it with truth from your word that I can build my own life on, that solid rock of Jesus Christ versus the rock of our sinfulness, which causes major problems.
Yeah. And you asked us to think about what some of those rocks were, Jen, and I did do some thinking on it. And I had talked to you about this before, but for me, one of those mindsets was... that if someone asks something that, like, so I would, like, double book myself, right?
Right.
I'll say yes to someone even though I know full well I'm not able to fulfill that commitment, but I'll try and, like, finagle something and try and do both for two people at once.
Or right.
I don't want to give the whole truth for fear that it might hurt someone's feelings or they might think less of me,
right?
For example. But that's what it proved, actually, was that in conversation with you, and this is the joy and privilege of friendship, is that we can help each other grow as people, is that you said, well, if you're not being honest, like, well, how can I trust you to say one thing over another thing? And so I think in thinking about this parable, it highlighted to me that that's an area that I need to work on. Like, why do I actually feel that way and give that over to God and ask Him to help me to speak truthfully and honestly with people?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so we also talked the flip side of one of the rocks in our own lives can also be unforgiveness. And so, you know, in that conversation with Carrie, then I have a choice, right? Then I have a choice to hold on to bitterness, to say, well, I can't really trust what she's saying. Or I say, Lord, as an act of my will, I choose to forgive Carrie, and would you help me, you know, to trust? Would you help me to extend that? And we talk about friendship a lot and how important it is. And because it's like ironing, sharpening iron. And so, you know, for the person on the flip side, it really is an opportunity and you to ask yourself this. Has someone asked for forgiveness, or you see them genuinely moving forward in there, and are you holding something against them saying, oh, but they used to do this, right? And so that actually impedes the way that you see them versus, like, Lord, give me fresh eyes to see them as you want to see them. And so it's very interesting how sin can come in and it affects relationships in general, whether it's from a side of someone needing to repent and say they're sorry, to the other side of having to extend forgiveness.
And I notice a tendency in myself, and I don't know about you, but when something, a friend or family brings up an issue, I just want to, like, ignore it, run away, change the subject, like, move on, forget that it's happening. But isn't there a verse about this parable in Luke, Jen, that talks about persevering?
Yes.
Through trials? And
yes.
What that actually causes? I can't remember it offhand, but maybe.
Well, it produces maturity.
Right.
When we persevere, it produces maturity. And so it's like, oh, like, am I willing to do the work to get rid of the rocks? Because if I get rid of the rocks, then the roots are going to go down deeper and I'm going to be stronger for it. Or it's sort of like, well, no, I'll just
remain. Just happy where I am.
I'm happy where I am. I am happy to remain shallow, which is like, and then we can get discontent in our heart thinking I'm not growing in the Lord. And it's like, well, are there some rocks there that are stopping us? So that's a really long review to say, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal and then have the courage to repent. And if you're struggling with repentance, just say, Lord, I don't know if I want to repent, but would you help me? Because I know that this is wrong, but I kind of like it and it feels good. And all these other things are going to happen if I genuinely repent, but I need to grow in my relationship with you. Like, it's all of these things. And you just ask the Lord to help you. Like, ask the Lord. And so here we are. Rocks are dangerous because they impede weed growth or root growth. But
right. So
weeds are dangerous. And one of the things that I read or watched as I was getting ready to talk about this is it said, keep the weeds away from the flowers. And it's like, why would they say that? Because I did a lot of research as far as weeds and rocks and whatever.
So what do the weeds actually mean?
Well, when you think about if a weed grows up in your garden, number one, it's taking the nutrients from the soil through their root system.
Yeah.
So there's less nutrients and less water from the root perspective to go into that flower. But also they tend to grow bigger and stronger
than
the actual flower, right? So then they're shading it so they're not receiving the sun for photosynthesis and the external sources of nutrients. And so, and the weeds can be invasive. Like, they don't have necessarily any natural predators to come in and kill them.
And they do seem to grow more easily than the vegetable or the flower that you want. They're opportunistic. They just jump in and take over.
Yes.
Like a parasite.
Yes. Like, they compete, right, for all the exact same things that the flower needs or the plant needs, right? It's competing for water, it's competing for sun, it's competing for nutrients. And because it doesn't have the predators, it's going to succeed.
Right.
Right?
So what does the parable actually say that the weeds are?
So it says, the one who has received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life,
okay,
and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. So it makes it unfruitful.
Chokes.
So they've heard it, they've received it, right? They're starting to grow even. Like, there's a measure of fruit being produced because they are actually growing. But the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth,
those are the weeds.
Yes.
So what are the worries of this life? The things that only pertain to this life.
Interesting. What are the worries of this life? And on that note, we're going to take a commercial break. Great question.
Hi, I'm Robbie Ferguson, and I love being a Vimeo Pro member. As a web broadcaster, I need an affordable video hosting platform that's as flexible as me. A pro membership lets you upload up to 20 gigabytes of HD video each and every week with no additional bandwidth restrictions. That means if you produce a show that uses even up to 20 gigabytes of storage, your limit resets itself the following week, so you can do another 20 gigabytes. And keep doing that week after week. Now, Category 5, with all of our shows, use roughly 10 gigabytes per week. From there, Vimeo automatically generates all the files that you need to provision your RSS feeds, Roku channel, website media player, or even video downloads in multiple bit rates, with no limits on your bandwidth usage or how many people can access your files. What's best? The price is astonishingly affordable. And for a limited time, friends of the Category5.tv network will receive a whopping 25% off the annual price. All you have to do is go through our link, cat5.tv/Vimeo, and sign up today for your 25% discount. To top it off, you get 30 days to try it risk-free. If you're not happy with Vimeo Pro, you pay nothing. The deal is only for a very limited time. Go to cat5.tv/Vimeo.
Hi, and welcome back to New Every Day. We're on the road. We're talking about the parable of the sower and how weeds can be dangerous. And I asked the question before our break, well, what are the worries of this life? Because the Bible identifies that the weeds that choke out our growth are the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth. So what are the worries of this life?
So what are the worries of this life? We're going to pause for a second. You have something? Can you speak it back to us? See, these are moments where I wish that there was some interaction between you and I. And
like Dora the Explorer.
Yes.
This is a backpack.
Yeah.
So what are the things that you actually worry about?
Relationships.
Okay.
Like friends, family. It's interesting. We were watching Storage Wars last night, and I had never really seen it before. But as they opened up those storage bins, all I could think about was, wow, there's a lot of stuff in there, and people worried about not having it, so they stored it away. They didn't even give it. They stored it up for, you know, future use, and yet here it is. They couldn't even keep it. And
yeah,
I'm like,
and now it's being auctioned off.
And now it's being auctioned off. And I
so possessions.
Possessions are a worry in this life. Relationships are a worry in this life. Having enough money to pay for things, right?
Stability. Comfort.
And even, I want to say, those introspective questions like, will I please other people? Will I grow up to honor and, you know, to fulfill my dreams? Like, those are some, I want to say, deeper worries. Usually the first set of worries is there going to be food on the table?
Right.
You know, is there going to be clothes on my back? Those are the very basic worries. But even the, like,
am I going to be happy?
Am I going to be happy?
My friend was with her longtime boyfriend, and then they were talking about marriage, but then she said, am I really going to be happy my whole life? And I want to say, well, probably not.
Right.
That doesn't happen. But these are the kind of things that people worry about, or they worry about their kids. Are their kids going to grow up okay? Or is my job going to still be there? And they seem legitimate in the time. Like when I've worried about something, it's usually like the welfare of a family member.
Yes. And yet Jesus says in Matthew 6, 31 to 33, do not worry saying, what shall I eat and what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans are people who don't know Jesus as Lord.
Okay.
The pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. It's like,
he's going to take care of it.
He's going to take care of it. So we allow the things of this world, this life, to create a state of unease, like that kind of, that worry, right? And it's like our face can get distorted when we worry, like, you know what I mean? When you start thinking
they
about
call
something.
Them worry lines.
Yeah, and don't zoom in. But they cause us to take our eyes off of Jesus, and we become fruitless because we've allowed the worries, those weeds, to come in and shadow us, right? And if we're shadowed by the weeds, so I'm just going to put my hand down. Look, my eyes can't see you, but it can see my hand. right? And really, that's what happens, is those weeds come in and we get focused and fixated on those rather than on who Jesus is. And it's like, no, we get rid of those things, focus on Jesus, because that passage from Matthew is very clear. Like, how much more will God look after it? Like, he's gonna look after it. And so it also says that it is the deceitfulness of wealth, right?
So we've talked a lot about capitalism, like just between the two of us,
yeah,
and with other friends, and how pursuing wealth can be at the expense of someone else.
Right.
So the deceitfulness of wealth would be like, I'm going to have more material possessions.
Yeah.
Consequently, better relationships. I'll be able to use what I have to have better friends, closer friends. But in truth, usually the acquisition of wealth, especially if it's not done in the right way, can be at the expense of other people and expense of relationships, expense of your health.
Yes.
I look at some people, you know, even some of my own friends, and they're like workaholics, and they're so unhealthy physically because they're just working to have money because they want to have this certain house.
Mm-hmm.
And at what expense?
Right, because it's the deceit. Wealth is not the problem. Wealth means just to have an abundance, right? And Jesus said, I have come that you would have life and life to the full. And depending on your translation, it says, I've come that you might have a life of abundance.
Okay.
So abundance isn't the problem. Having a lot of something isn't the problem. It's the deceitfulness of it.
How do you interpret that?
And so it's like, because I have this money, I'm going to be happy.
Like self-sufficient. I don't need community.
I don't need God. Because I have this money, I'm going to be happy. Because I have this money,
okay.
That's the deceitfulness. I have money, so I have no worries.
Right.
And yet, money does not buy lasting relationships. Money does not buy peace of mind. Like, often, the more things we amass, the more things we have to look after. Like, I've thought about buying a house, and I'm like, cutting the grass, shoveling the snow. What happens if the furnace blows? What?
Yeah.
New windows, new roof. And I'm like, if I don't have that, then I don't have to worry about it, and I can focus on other things that I feel called to. And so it's like, well, if I have the house, everything's going to be good. If I have the car, everything's going to be good. And it's like we rely on those things, the deceitfulness of those things. There's nothing wrong with having a house. There's nothing wrong with having a car. It's when we start thinking, That's going to meet all my needs.
Yeah.
And the Lord is like, no, like that's not going to meet all of your needs. I am going to meet all of your needs. And those things crowd up and they cover us from taking in, you know, the nutrients, sun, right?
Yeah.
The sun can't get through because we've allowed those things into our life. They choke it out. When you think about being choked, literally it can feel like you can't breathe. And how often have you been worrying about something? Like, I've been in a state of such worry before where it literally feels like I'm choking. Like,
or you get chest pain.
And it's like, okay, that's not what God called us to do.
Yeah.
So wealth deceives people, worries, like, deceive. Like, it's, and makes promises. Like, if you need this, I mean, not if you have this, you'll be fine. Like, wealth makes deceitful promises.
That's a good point.
And so, you know, how do you know if you have weeds in your life? Well, one of the first things that you can do is say, ask yourself this question.
Okay.
If something bad happens, what's the first thing you do?
Oh. Like, do you worry about it? Like, are you one?
That's it. What do you do? Like, if something bad happens, like, the car breaks down. Not that the car's going to break down. We just happen to be in the car. It's not going to break down.
Yeah. But to be honest, I think sometimes I don't take as good care of possessions because I think, well, you know what? I could get a new one.
that's, and I immediately went, well, Carrie has CAA.
Oh, yeah. Well, I couldn't just get a new car. That I can't afford.
But,
yeah.
Like, it's well, we have Carrie has CAA, you know, we could call someone to come and get us. Carrie could get a new car.
Instead like, of being like,
I am insurance.
Take care of us.
Yes. Rather than stopping and saying, you know what, God is going to take care of us. I have been a good steward, you know, looking after my car. I'm going to trust that God is going to look after us. And it's like, when things happen, like when you go to the doctor and you get that report, what is the first thing that you do? It's like, do you start to worry and, you know, or it's like, God, you got this. So, you know, what is the first thing that you do when something happens often shows you if you have weeds in your life.
I've never thought about that.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, if something breaks, it's like, oh yeah, I have money. And it's like, really? Is that the right response? Or is it, dear Lord God, show us what to do. And so it says, I lift my eyes up to hills. This is Psalm 12, 1 and 2. 121. 1 and 2. I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And it's like, okay, where do we turn to when things happen?
Get hot.
Yes, when things get hot.
And I was reading in the Old Testament that, in Ezekiel, when Israel was going through trial, they wanted to be free from the influence of Babylon and the captivity, and they looked to other nations instead of asking God for help. Instead of turning back to him, they looked to Egypt, they looked to Assyria for help. But that was deceitful, like the deceitfulness of their possible help, because they were worrying, and instead of turning to God, they turned to other people.
Yes.
And they didn't grow.
So it's like, the main question to ask out of this is, you know, do I have any weeds?
Well, what do we do when we find them?
That's a great question.
I'm sincerely asking.
What do you think you should do? And you're like, Jen, we're not going to respond. But, when I think about what should we do about the weeds when we find them, or how do we know if we have weeds, is like, it goes back to the same idea with the rocks. Holy Spirit, would you show me where I'm relying on things other than God to provide for my needs? Would you show me where I've been sucked into the deceitfulness of wealth, thinking that it's going to look after me? Would you show me where I'm worrying about my friends, my family, you know, where I'm going in life, where I'm worrying about tomorrow? Would you show me? And then would you help me to truly walk out Philippians 4, 6, and 7, which is, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And so it's like, Lord, search my heart. It says, Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer and tell you great and unsearchable things you did not know. So it's like, okay, the Lord will actually raise it up. Like if we ask him, it says he will tell us great and unsearchable things. So things that we cannot find on our own, he will raise them up. He will show us things that we did not know. And then we say, God, I'm so sorry for allowing the worries and the wealth, the deceitfulness of wealth to shadow my receiving from you, my connecting with you. And then asking God for help to turn to him and to receive from him. And so we encourage you today to say, to pray, we're going to pray the Jeremiah 33 prayer. So Heavenly Father, we call to you. We trust that you will answer. We trust that you will tell us great and unsearchable things we did not know. For the purpose, Father God, that you would reveal to our hearts the worries, the deceitfulness of wealth that we have allowed to be stored up there. Because God, we want to receive your abundance. We want to walk in your fullness. We want to walk in your freedom. Help us, Lord. We pray this in the name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much for tuning in. And we look forward to seeing you next week, same time, same place on NewEveryday.tv.
See you later.
Have a great week.